Sometimes, our faith will get us almost there, but not across the finish line. Sometimes, we just will not have what it takes to meet the goal. Sometimes, life will be too hard, and we will need more than our own personal faith can give us.
That's the Reverend Jasmine Smothers, and today she brings you a challenging sermon called When My Faith Is Not Enough. I'm Peter Wallace. It's day one.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Jasmine R. Smothers, lead pastor of First United Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Before coming to First Atlanta as lead pastor in 2016, she served as associate director for Congregational Vitality through the Office of Connectional Ministries in the North Georgia Conference. Jasmine is an Atlanta native, a graduate of Spelman College and of Candler School of Theology at Emory University, a sought-after workshop leader, church consultant, leadership coach, advocate, and self-proclaimed technology geek. She is the co-author of the book Not Safe for Church, 10 Commandments for Reaching New Generations, and a new book written with her father, the Reverend Dr. Rodney T. Smothers and Leah McIntosh, called Blank Slate, Write Your Own Rules for a 22nd Century Church. Jasmine, welcome to Day One.
Thank you so much.
Atlanta First United Methodist is a downtown church with a lot of history. In fact, the church is celebrating 175 years of ministry this year. Share some of that history with us.
Well, Atlanta First United Methodist Church was the first Protestant church here in Atlanta back when it was Marthasville.
Yeah.
And it actually helped launch most of the other Protestant denominations in the city. It's now at its third location, and we're celebrating 175 years of ministry with our city, in our city, in the heart of the city. We are the delineator between downtown and midtown. Mm-hmm. And so that gives us a unique opportunity to be in ministry with our whole city.
So how will you be observing that milestone?
We will have a series of incredible preachers through the fall. We have, in fact, we've invited the president of Emory University. Dr. Finvez will be with us. Our bishop, Sue Harper Johnson, will be with us. And they're just a few of the headliners, including some of our city leaders. And we are just excited to see how our history propels us forward into a future with hope. The theme is faith forward. And we have a strong foundation, a strong faith. And it really has helped us to reshape what ministry looks like for the future through Atlanta First United Methodist Church.
Well, your sermon today draws from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and 12. Would you read it for us?
By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
It's a powerful passage with so many faithful witnesses. Jasmine, what stood out for you as you prepared your sermon?
The faith of the ancestors is what really drew me in and compelled me to remember that we don't do life alone. We often don't like to talk a lot about death and afterlife, even in church. Mm-hmm. And I think we've done a disservice to each other in doing so, because if we could get comfortable with the great cloud of witnesses, the ancestors and the faith of our ancestors, and really understand that we are not in this life by ourselves, and that we are escorted through faith by the faith of our ancestors and that great cloud of witnesses, that we might have a little bit more strength and endurance, and we might be able to keep on keeping on when we think that all is lost. Mm.
Jasmine, we look forward to learning more about this in your message, When My Faith Is Not Enough. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me today. I remember it like it was yesterday. I can still hear it, see it, smell it, feel it. Usually it was on first Sundays. Well, you need to know that in traditional Black churches, the first Sunday of the month is a high and holy time. It is sacred. It is formal. It is full of liturgy, ritual, precision, and tradition. It is known as Communion Sunday. The communion stewards are adorned from head to toe in all white, down to the gloves on their hands and the doilies on their heads. They are sitting at attention on the first pew as not to miss any cues in their service to the Lord. And they dare anyone to go near the altar rail and the communion table that they have so lovingly, carefully, and ceremonially prepared. Usher board number one is on duty. These are the MVPs of ushers. Nothing gets past them. No one moves down the center aisle once the introit has begun. No one moves toward the exits during the scripture reading, prayers, and the sermon. Nope, not on first Sundays, you don't. They protect the doors with grace and fierce intentionality. And they do not move from their post until the pastor rises to preach and invites them to retire from their feet. The cathedral choir is on duty. This choir sings high church anthems, Negro spirituals, and the great hymns of the church that our grandmothers and great-grandmothers taught us. None of this newfangled stuff, you know. They are known for the difficulty and intricacies of the music, their enunciation of the words and precision of the notes, especially the high ones. But what I remember best about First Sundays at Central United Methodist Church in Atlanta is that at exactly 10:45 a.m., the center doors opened to the narthex of the church. The pastor stepped in saying, "Please stand for the processional hymn, We've Come This Far by Faith." Now, you would think this was just your regular run-of-the-mill hymn singing, but I've come to learn that this was not that at all. As the acolytes, the pastors, the lay liturgists, the pulpit assistants, and the choir began to process into the sanctuary, the whole church, the people, and some days it felt like the building too, everyone began to march and sway and march and sway and march and sway, as if the whole purpose of the exercise was to express this faith they sang about with every fiber of their being. When the organ piped up, the faith oozed out. As a child, I didn't know that they were expressing the heartache, pain, and relief of surviving another week of life in the 1980s and 1990s America. I didn't know that they were so much like the Israelites, passing through the proverbial Red Sea to leave old Pharaoh behind. I didn't know that the walls of Jericho, that Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets were gathered around in the form of Mrs. Hickson and Miss Mitchell and Mr. Ogletree and Reverend Grisham and so many more of whom the world was not worthy. I didn't know that some were wondering how they would put food on the tables and gas in the cars. I didn't know that others were wondering if they'd make it again through another week. I didn't know that they were pressing their way through and praying their children over. I didn't know that they were moving from discouragement to encouragement, all in the processional hymn. I just did not know. But it was contagious. So as a small child, just like everyone else in the room, I stood up proudly, chest out, head held high, marching and swaying, proclaiming with the gathered witnesses, "We've come this far by faith." Dr. Tom Long, in his commentary of Hebrews, teaches us that we would be well served to understand Hebrews as a sermon and the author as a preacher. By the time the preacher gets to Hebrews 11:29, Hebrews has built to such a point that we understand that the definition of faith given to us in Hebrews 11:1, the substance or assurance of things hoped for, and the evidence or conviction of things not seen. This definition is much more than mere words. By the time we get to chapter 11, verse 29, we are to know that we 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 know that faith is a lifestyle. That we don't just believe in faith. Rather, we live by and through faith. You see, faith is not merely an idealistic concept. Rather, it is the reality of those who seek to survive. The preacher of Hebrews walks us through the annals of history and thus the annals of faith to remind us of the stuff we're made of who we are and whose we are, to remind us of our strength and of the sustaining power of our faith, if we'll just activate our faith in our own lives. And then the Hebrews preacher springs a plot twist on us in verses 39 through 40. Hear the words of the scripture again, but this time from Eugene Peterson's contemporary translation of the Bible called The Message. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what God promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. In other words, they were admired for their faith, but it wasn't enough. God had something better. Preacher, what do you mean that the faith of our ancestors and heroes didn't get them what they were promised? What do you mean that my faith may not be enough? Well, sometimes our faith will get us almost there, but not across the finish line. Sometimes we will run out of steam right before the race is won. The exam is over. The task is completed. Sometimes we just will not have what it takes to meet the goal. Sometimes life will be too hard. And we will need more than our own personal faith can give us. But here's the good news. God did not leave us behind or without a plan. The giants of the faith did not get what they were promised so that we would all get it together. But why? By the time we get to Hebrews 12 and 1, we hear the word therefore. Therefore is one of my favorite words in the English language. Technically, it means for that reason. Biblically, therefore is a word of pause and a word of assurance. In this case, the therefore means because something else did not happen. Now this new thing, the better thing, the whole thing shall come to pass. On the days when our faith is not enough, remember the therefore. Therefore, we have the great cloud of witnesses to bear this life alongside us so that our faith together gets us to Jesus. And Jesus gets us to perfect faith, which gets us to joy, which gets us to the cross, which gets us to the throne of God. And when we get to the throne of God, everything that looked so impossible before fades away because my bit of faith is joined with our bits of faith. And when our faith comes together, Well, that little girl who watched the transformation of the weak, worn, weary into the nothing is impossible with God's saints as they marched and swayed and testified, singing, "We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet." That little girl, she will grow up. And she will hear those saints near when her faith may be worn out in the midst of COVID, cancer, or church messiness, gun violence, political weariness, discrimination, racism, grief, disaster, all the hard stuff of life. It will be the faith of all together that provides the assurance and strength to throw off the heavy stuff, to seek a faithful and sin-resistant life, and to run the race that is before her. So, my friend, please stop trying to do life by yourself. There will be days when your faith by itself is simply not enough. God created you to need the saints so that your faith evolves beyond just a concept you've read about or heard about. Our faith is incomplete without the faith of others. And what's the point of faith that is empty and powerless? Get some wise, faith-filled friends who will point you to Jesus, the perfecter of our faith, so that when you lean in together, your faith becomes the kind of sticky faith that convicts you and encourages others to keep on keeping on. Surround yourself with the kind of faith-filled witnesses who will tell you to lean into God's vision, maybe even of affordable housing on Peachtree Street, when everybody else says that it can't be done. Hang out with some saints who don't look at you like you're crazy when you're having a rough day, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, a smile comes across your face. Because when my faith is not quite enough, I hear the great cloud of witnesses singing, "We have come this far by faith." In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Reverend Jasmine Smothers, lead pastor of First United Methodist Church in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. For a free transcript of her message today, "When My Faith Is Not Enough," call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. And keep in mind that Day One depends on the generous donations of our faithful listeners. I'm Peter Wallace. Next week on Day One, we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. Ruth Anna Hook, Associate Dean of Students and Associate Professor of Homiletics at Virginia Theological Seminary in Alexandria, Virginia. I hope you'll join us for Ruth Anna's inspiring message next week on Day One. Now, now, our Day One preacher, Jasmine Smothers, offers some final thoughts on her message today, When My Faith Is Not Enough. And Jasmine, you painted a glorious picture for us of first Sunday of the month communion services growing up and singing that powerful hymn, We've Come This Far by Faith. Everyone would march and sway and sing with every fiber of their being, you said. And as a child, you didn't know they were expressing the heartache, pain, and relief of surviving another week of life, wondering how they would put food on the table and gas in the car, wondering if they would make it again through another week. They were moving from discouragement to encouragement through this processional hymn. Faith can indeed be fleeting, and we can use all the help we can get. So what are some of the ways we can build up our faith to face our life challenges?
Sitting down and speaking with people of faith who have lived a little and lived a lot is always a great way to build your faith, to learn and be reminded that you are not the only person who might have gone through a situation like this or something like that really helps. I mentioned a couple of the saints at Central Church in Atlanta in the sermon, and one of them I remember so clearly was Aletha Hickson. She had her leg amputated, and I remember her first time back to church was a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and she, when asked if she wanted something to say, she just started singing her favorite hymn, which is Great Is Thy Faithfulness. I'll never forget that. I was probably 9 or 10 years old, but I'll never forget that. And when I'm going through something hard, I can hear her singing Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Also, reading the text of Hebrews that gives us that just powerful summary of the faith of the Israelite ancestors reminds us and encourages us that there is nothing, that with God is impossible. Impossible to live through, impossible to go through, impossible to overcome. Being in community, being in a small group or in a prayer group, being in community with folks, serving together. At our church, we like to invite people into missions opportunities before we even invite them to worship, because we know that the building of the faith through community really enlivens and makes worship more meaningful when you already have a foundation on which to build.
Jasmine, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will carry with them in the days ahead?
Oh, I hope that they will carry the admonition that it is okay to ask for help. Faith is meant to be in community. And it is meant to be a place of growth and a place where we come together for strength. It is not meant to be something that you do over here by yourself. It is meant to be corporate, communal, and challenging, and to be shared with others who have faith. Because when I put my little bit of faith in with your little bit of faith and with somebody else's faith, man, all those mustard seeds just explode. And we have the mountain moving kind of faith that it takes to live and move and experience abundant life. And not just for us, but for all of those around us.
Jasmine Smothers, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a joy.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.